Man, had my own personal intro before. Can't play it because costs fucking money for that shit. It costs money to play music on the internet. But anyway, yeah, welcome. Football Without Hesitation, episode 8. Episode 8, man, we're 2 months into this shit. I hope I'm getting better. If not, I don't care because I'm watching a lot of fucking soccer and there is a lot of good soccer going on. I don't know, whatever level you're into, from amateur to pro to super pro international level, it's all going on. And speaking of that, Copa America was just finished up. After my last episode, tournament was still going on. Just done. United States in the third place game against Colombia, and they lost 1-0. They lost. And it seems cool. Oh wow, they were playing for third place, but really, with the competition and the way that certain teams, Brazil, were playing, it really is par for the course, actually. But I don't know, the U.S. doesn't produce strikers yet, really big goal scorers, or even beyond that, CAMs, midfielders, attacking midfielders. The United States, when is our Messi or Ronaldo going to come up? It was interesting looking at the roster. The only position that the United States consistently had players that played internationally in, defender. We got good defenders, man. You're not going to score against us a lot unless you're Argentina. Fucking Argentina. Man, people were upset. People were upset that the United States lost to Argentina, but fucking Argentina. Up top, they have fucking Gonzalo Higuain and Messi. All right, that's fucking murderer's row already. And when they pull Higuain out, who do they replace him with? Fucking Kun Aguero. Are you fucking kidding? No, that team is fucking stacked. Stacked. So the people that were upset that it wasn't a closer game, dude, I don't know what fantasy world you're looking at, but that was never going to be a close game. The miracle would have been if the United States tied. But again, what are you going to do? You're not going to fix it over a tournament. You're not going to make it better. We have to develop. We have to develop the younger generation. These players, you can't make any fucking, Klinsmann's not going to make some sort of tactical adjustment or that's going to make this team a world beater. It's going to have to come from the next generation. The next generation that is just coming up has to be, has to understand this American system. Whatever our system is going to be, whatever our tactical advantage, however we think we could dominate the world, that's how we have to teach this generation coming up. And I don't know. MLS seems like it's doing something. Actually, speaking of that, the Quakes just announced an affiliation with the FC 1883 in Reno. Reno is starting a USL team. For the last couple of years, the Quakes had an affiliation with Sacramento Republic. Sacramento's making a big push to join MLS, and I fully support that. I hope they make it. I know it's between them and Minneapolis, but fuck that. I got Sacramento's back all the way. I hope, you know, with that new stadium that they can make, you know, come up to MLS. It'll be a dope ass rivalry. There's a train connection directly from San Jose to Sacramento. So, man, those fucking games are going to be crazy. So hopefully it happens. But yeah, so anyway, the development leagues are getting there. But my big thing is when it comes to college, because I mean, if you're signed to one of these professional academies when you're a fucking 8-year-old, how are you going to go to fucking college? How does that make... I don't know how that works in with the NCAA and all that. Something's got to be figured out there because people still got to get... I don't give a fuck if you're guaranteed to be the next Messi. You got to get a fucking college education. That you just have to. That's just fucking bare minimum, you know? You need something to fall back on. You can't, you know, rely on something that can be, but there has to be a way where these when they're, you know, 17 through 22 or 25, whatever it might be, that they could still go to college and be part of these professional organizations. I don't know. It's going to be complicated, but something needs to be figured out because. Having these guys, you know, being the traditional way, going to college and all that. Dude, a 24-year-old rookie striker is fucking old in most international leagues. You try to start a 24-year-old in England, in Spain, in France, in Germany, in Italy, Brazil, Argentina, wherever it might be. A 24-year-old should already have nearly a decade of experience on international soccer, and the United States is not there yet. The United States is completely not there yet. It's still this suburban sport that you take your kid to on Saturday and he hangs out with his friends for 4 hours and you take him to pizza fucking afterwards. But that's not the reality of it. I mean, that is soccer. That's a part of soccer, 100%. But on the international level, that shit doesn't cut it. That shit is not going to cut it. And we need to be serious about, you know, our national team, our pyramid, and who's going up to play in MLS. If MLS is going to be our number one top league, the competition needs to be world class, even if they don't represent their team on the international level, that the players still need to be world class. And again, I don't know. I'm just some dude talking to a mic. I hope to be able to ask the questions and figure out if we're going there. I believe we are. Look how many teams have their own fucking stadium now. It's not rare for an MLS team to have their own fucking stadium. Most of the teams have it. More of the teams than not have their own stadium. And again, Sacramento building a brand new stadium in their downtown, not even being in MLS yet. And, you know, with Atlanta coming in and the other LA team coming in and Beckham at some point, I'm sure they're going to, you know, put a fucking stadium in the Everglades or some shit, you know, but they'll figure it out at some point. But anyway, so all this soccer energy, I guess what I'm trying to say, it needs to be focused. We need to focus all this, all these different leagues, from city leagues to amateur leagues to semi-pro leagues. We need to find a way to connect them all in this country, because there's so much fucking talent out there. If we could find a way to get all these teams and players kind of recognized, we can build a great, great feeder system to our national team and to MLS clubs, while also educating a lot of our players. I don't know. It's the fucking, it's the world's game, man. But I don't know. I could go on and on and on. And, but Wando is back. Wando is back practicing, man. It was good to see those pictures, seeing him on the pitch, training with the Quakes. We missed him. We missed you, Wanda. We missed you. He missed the Clásico, and holy shit. Holy, I mean, I don't know. I realize San Jose Earthquakes are not everybody's cup of tea. I don't know. It's not even anybody's cup of hot cocoa. A lot of people seem to really dislike that team, but dude, they're one of the original teams. They took our fucking team to Houston, whatever. Enjoy your cups that should be here, but whatever. Anyway, they're back. They have their own fucking stadium. And for the last, 5 years, there's been one game every year at Stanford against Galaxy. Another edition of the Clásico, for anyone doesn't know. Anytime the Quakes and Galaxy play, that's the Clásico, man. And it doesn't matter. I was gonna add up the value of Galaxy's starting 11 compared to Quakes' starting 11, but it doesn't fucking matter. There's no point to it. Again, the Galaxy is in the millions, where the Quakes, I mean, like, shit, unless you count Innocent, who's chilling on the bench, you know, enjoying his $1.7 million or whatever the fuck a year he's getting to kind of just chill for the moment. But anyway, when these teams play, it doesn't fucking matter, man. It doesn't matter. 2 years ago, when Avaya opened, there was a preseason. It was just a regular, just not even a friendly. It was a friendlier than a friendly, but it was Galaxy and Quakes, just to, you know, just to kind of get the stadium going and make sure everything was working right. And there was pushing and shoving on the pitch. these teams, they just don't mix. They just fucking don't mix. And Saturday was just like that again. Just like that again. Again, took the train up from San Jose. More fans than I had seen in the previous years. Again, this was my fourth year in a row going to this game, taking the train from San Jose to Stanford, and it was packed, man. The fucking in San Jose, man, right there at Dairy Don, there was way more people than had ever been there. And when by the time we got to Stanford, it was standing room only. That shit was fucking packed ass train. Caltrain, get your shit on. Come on, we need more fucking trains, man. We need more trains. Ended up making there, walked to the stadium. Fucking weirdest shit ever. Okay, usually when you get to a stadium, they scan your ticket. Okay, go walk on in. They want you. Fuck no. There was no security at all. Nobody wanted me for anything. And all they had, they were telling us, tear the barcode off your ticket. Tear the barcode off your ticket and throw it in a bag. We were tearing the barcode. So, dude, you could have printed 100 more tickets and you could have just thrown the barcode in the bag and they would have let you in. They had no idea, no fucking idea how many people were going in, what the fuck was happening. And of course, they broke a record for attendance. Ha! What a surprise. What a surprise. You have absolutely zero security, and you break a record for people that come in. But anyway, it was the first half, kind of boring. You know, Quakes had a bit of a chance, you know, a couple of chances that here and there looked kind of promising. A couple that made me get up out of my seat, but nothing really exciting. Then the second half started, and holy fucking shit, what the fuck? They were talking like Will Ferrell in the locker room, fucking motivating everybody, because they came out firing. They came out firing, and a beautiful, beautiful, I mean, what can you say? I'm not a big Galaxy fan, but it was a beautiful cross. Who was it? Was it Gerard? I think it might have been Gerard to Gio. I know it was Gio that scored it, obviously, in the header. But damn, that was pretty. And it sucked to watch right in front of my face, to see it unravel. It was terrible. But hey, what can you say? That's the beauty of the sport. And but you could just feel, I don't know. Being there, my fourth Clásico at Stanford, it wasn't going to end that way. There was no fucking way, dude. No fucking way the Quakes were going to lose 1-0 in that kind of hard-fought-ass game. It wasn't, no. And fucking, but what was terrible is Chad Barrett was the guy that was like, hell nah, man, we're going to tie or win this game. But he couldn't find the fucking inside of the fucking woodwork. He hit the fucking post twice. But again, it was one of those like, dude, this is the Clásico. Something's going to happen. You can fucking feel it. And then, what was it? It was in the 61st minute, right? Oh, dude. Fuck, I just flipped and saw the formation. Because, yeah, all right, Muma, Bernardes, 9th minute got hurt. Got fucking stepped on. I heard, you know, I was there, but I heard when people saw the replay, I guess he twisted his ankle pretty bad. I don't like seeing that shit, so... And they're saying, oh, he's week to week. Fuck, nobody's fucking questioning these dudes. So they can say whatever the fuck they want. They've said that about so many players, and they've been out for fucking months at a time. But anyway, Muma came out in the 9th minute. So they brought Chad Barrett in. Fataya Lache went back, you know, into the defense. And fucking dude... Dude's what, 24? I think he's fucking 24 or some shit like that. 23, 24. Fataya Lache is the fucking man. The fucking man. That fool does not complain. That fool, dude, he does what's asked of him, and he rarely makes mistakes. And, you know, last year, well, he was a fucking rookie, but, and so he did make some rookie mistakes, but man, that dude, he grew up so fast, and to switch over like that in the 9th minute from the midfield down to the defense and such a big game and just contribute like he did and then get fucking elbowed in the face by Gio. That's some fucking bullshit. MLS rules committee, whatever the fuck you're called. You know you got to call that. There's got to be a fine there. That was uncalled for. That was fucking uncalled for. But anyway, Salinas came in the 61st minute. MPG playing again, his usual, on the left side of the midfield. Brought him in for Salinas. Again, Chad Barrett had come in the ninth minute for Victor Bernardes. And this fucking Salinas to Barrett connection, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. They might be roommates, you know, when they go on the road or some shit. They like the same kind of food. Something's going on. But these motherfuckers have been connecting for the last couple of weeks. I'm sure Dom Kinnear has seen this, but dude, it worked. When did they play? It worked on the 18th. So what? A little bit over a week ago against Orlando City, this Barrett Tisolini's connection was just there. And again, in the Clásico, as soon as Salinas come in, and dude, Salinas is such a fuck. He can be such a great super sub. When he comes in and he's good, the team, he can really make a difference. It doesn't matter if he's fucking whoever the hell is on the opposite side. If Salinas comes in and he's engaged and he's on, he can fucking be a super sub, game changer type person. And he has been these last couple games. And he fucking has been. This last game, the fucking Clásico, 90th minute, 1-0. Everybody on the edge of their seats. Is this really how we're going to go home? Fuck no. As dangerous as they've been, again, the last 3 years from the set, this fucking set piece, Salinas puts it right where fucking Barrett needs to be. Barrett heads it in. After two shots that hit the post, one finally goes in, ties the Clásico in the 90th minute. And what I fucking loved, again, as much heat and hate that come Dom's Kinnear way, you know, they were all excited, and he was like, nope, get on the ball, you know, we still got 3 minutes, we could still win this game. He was pushing them, he was, you know, and hey, it took them a while, but they listened. It was a lot quicker than they would have gone on the ball, and it almost worked out. But yeah, so I love that. I love that passion from Dom Kinnear to, you know, try to get him on the pitch. Like, fuck no, we're trying to win this game. And, you know, and it's going to be necessary, because at the moment they're under the red line. They're out of the playoffs. Again, right behind Galaxy. The MLS soccer website has them behind Kansas City, but they have more points per game and a better goal differential, so I don't know. Sporting has more away wins, I guess that's why they have them. But anyway, you know, we need points. The Quakes need points. They're right there, right on the cusp. You know, 6 or 7 points will push them, you know, right into the middle of playoff contention, and push them away from those kind of teams at the bottom that are going away right before the All-Star break. And, you know, fuck. Well, they got Chicago coming up right here in a couple of days. So, you know, that'll be the easiest. I mean, Chicago is the last place in the East. So, but then they got Dallas and Toronto and Real Salt Lake. So yeah, that's going to be a tough stretch. So you got to win. I hate saying that there's no fucking must wins. That's a stupid ass sports cliche, but they have to win. I know winning away is difficult, but Chicago is struggling. Chicago is languishing. San Jose Earthquakes with Wando back have to be able to put away Chicago at Chicago. They need those 3 points. They're very crucial. If they tie or lose, you know, those next, that, you know, I know the Dallas game's at home, but man, that Dallas can win away. Dallas can win away, and they've tied. They already, you know, they tied with a depleted, again, mind you, was a depleted, no Wando squad, but they have already come to Avaya and tied. So that's gonna be tough. They need to win in Chicago. They need to fucking win in Chicago. That was a big ass classical tie. But they need that win, and I hate fucking saying there's must win situations. But anyway, speaking of injuries, Muma going down, Goodson's been out for a while, Stewart was out for a while. I forget. That's so bad, I forget the name. But I've been talking the Burning Game Dragons. Oh, dude. What was the last time I talked about here? But anyway, the Burning Game Dragons they're the under 23 affiliate of the San Jose Earthquakes. They're the what would be the fourth division in the American soccer pyramid, the top amateur league in the country, PDL. And they were formed last year, and they were champions of their conference, their division. And this year, they came out firing again, baby. They came out doing well. But the cool thing this year is that there was a team in San Francisco. So this team plays in Burlingame. That team plays in San Francisco, at the University of San Francisco campus. And so they're 13 miles away. You know, they're 13 miles away from each other. So it was really, really close proximity. The very first derby, as you would have it. Burlingame Dragons won 4-0. It was not close. It was not fucking close. Gonna be honest. Masovsky for the Dragons had a hat trick. It was 4-0, dude. And I don't know. You gotta check this forward duo of Masovsky and Cox, Jamil Cox and Masovsky for the Dragons. I think it's six goals for Masovsky and five for Cox, or it might be 6-6. But these dudes are goal scoring machines, and Masovsky just got ranked number 13 in the PDL for top prospects. It's a great team. It's a great team that you know, again, they're affiliated with the Quakes. So these are players that, could very well be playing on Saturdays, you know, or Fridays with the Quakes. And, like I've said in previous episodes, it was over 30% of PDL players, over 30% of MLS players started in PDL or have played at some point in their career in the PDL. So yeah, so a lot of these players do make it up to the big leagues, and it's cool because you could see the formation, man, of the pyramid. It's really not where it should be, and it's really not fully there. But I like that it's forming. You know, there's that the team in San Francisco is completely different. They're kind of funded by the people. It's kind of more of a rec league team. And again, that's really how it looked when they played that first game against the Dragons. But that said, the second game, they just played another game again on Friday. This last Friday, what the fuck was that? The 24th? Yeah. Friday the 24th, they played again, and Burlingame did win, but it was 2-1. It was 2-1, and it was a much different game. That's fun. I like that there's more ways to get engaged in high level soccer, and that was cool. And again, I'm telling you, you got to check out the Burlingame Dragons. It's fucking $10. It's $10 for the ticket. There's a train station right there. I don't know, wherever the hell you come from the Bay Area. I usually drive to San Jose and just jump on the train. But Caltrain, you know, take you right there. Most when they play, most of the time, dude, there's plenty of trains running. And yeah, it's $10. You go out there. They have fucking great tacos. The food is fucking good. You would trip out because it does have kind of like a minor league type atmosphere, but the food is awesome. Those tacos, they have great tacos, and they have this sauce that comes in the squeeze bottle that looks like sriracha, kind of like almost sriracha mayo, but fuck, it's so spicy and it's smoky. Fuck, it's awesome. It's awesome. So yeah, so I highly recommend that you come out and check that out. But anyway, I could babble on and on and on and on about Bay Area soccer, and I've barely even scratched the surface. But I have a lot of weeks to do that. For the moment, that's all I gotta say. Again, reach out to me at Baldini10 on Twitter. And that's it. That's the only social media account I have. Holy fuck. Yeah, at Baldini10 on Twitter. Follow me. Say hi to me at the Quakes games. I'm always at Avaya. I'm the one with the big ass fucking hair. You can't miss me. And yeah. Dude, go out. Go out and find a pitch. Go out and find a pitch. Go out and jump on this bandwagon. Because this is awesome. This is a great game. It's a beautiful game. And I hope everybody, you know, that's curious, figure it out, man. Figure it out. You know, you always drive by a pitch. Stop. See if you can't, you know, join a team, join a league. Let's do this shit. I'll see y'all next week.